Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 12 of the Flavor Fest Leadership Podcast. I can't believe it's already number 12. Since it's number 12, we're going to do something very different today, like we've never done before. I've had a few people ask me to do it like this, including my engineer. Shout out to my boy, Nathan, from Allison's Alligator. But before we dive into what we're going to do today that's a little bit different, let me remind you guys, if you haven't heard, Flavor Fest is still on this year in 2020. The only difference is you can come because it's free. I know it's been like the big barrier for so many people over the years. They're like, Tommy, Urban D, I want to come to Flavor Fest, but I don't have the money for a plane ticket, for a hotel room, for registration, for, you got to have some food money and some merch money, right? Because there's so much dope merch at Flavor Fest. Listen, we took all the barriers out of the way for you this year. Actually, COVID took the barriers out of the way. And it's going to be just virtual and it's free. So you can watch it right from your home. And we know y'all got ADD. See, we all got a little ADD. So that's okay. It's short. We power packed it into just 3 hours. We know y'all don't want to go to like a 3-day virtual conference. We're all tired of that, right? I've been to a few of those. It's like, it's too much, right? Many of us were zoomed out. It seems like there's some kind of virtual thing we can do all the time. But listen, so these 3 hours are going to be super valuable of your time. It's going to be worth it. So we have two general sessions that are going down. I'm going to be sharing in one of them how your church can thrive, how your ministry can thrive in a pandemic. Ephraim Smith is going to be joining me as well. I mean, he's a Flavor Fest favorite. He always kills it. Like when he gets done, like the mic just drops. It's sizzling, right? We also are going to do a panel in one of the general sessions with our staff and some of the staff from Crossover Church ATL. We do have some artists because you know it's Flavor Fest. My man Dayton is going to be in the building, like literally live with us as we're recording. Shepherd is going to be with us as well. He's coming up from Miami. Who else? We got Crossover's worship team, Remix. They're going to do a couple worship songs for us. So it's going to be amazing. And then we have nine, count them, y'all, nine. If you're watching this on YouTube, I got my nine fingers up. We got nine breakout workshops for you. Got incredible stuff. Bizzle's going to be doing one for artists. So if you're an artist, you definitely want to hear what Bizzle's going to say about how you can thrive as an artist in the middle of this crazy season that we're in, when you can't really tour. Touring's starting to come back a little bit this fall in some places. But how do you navigate all that? Bizzle's going to share what he's been learning. I'm going to do a workshop on loving your city in a pandemic. There's one on worship. There's one on strategy. There's one for women in ministry. There's one for youth ministry. Mark DeMaz is going to be doing one on like, how do you get extra streams of income for your ministry during a time like this? And he was talking about this pre-COVID. Great, great workshop. I've learned so much from Mark. Myron Pierce is going to be talking about justice. He's got a workshop on that. So there's going to be so much good stuff. So go to the website. Do yourself a favor. Go to flavorfest.org and go ahead and register you and your squad, your team. Help us get the word out. Spread the word. It's absolutely free. Listen, if you want to get the entire conference and have like on-demand access to it, it's just $29, and that's later. So if you want to like get all the workshops, all nine of them, and the general sessions and watch all of it and, you know, split that up with some of your team, you could do that as well. That's just $29, and there's some free added digital bonuses that we throw in there as well. But there's a free pass for everybody, and we want you to come and your team to come. We want to pour into you guys and help you guys in this season. All right, so flavorfest.org. Like, let everybody know the virtual conference is on. The in-person conference, it is postponed to October of 2021. Prayerfully, all of this pandemic stuff is going to be over by then. We thought it would be by this fall, but we We're still kind of in it. So we're praying that it'll really be over in a year from now. So stay tuned to the podcast. We're going to keep pouring into you guys. But hey, I'm going to dive in today. So we're in episode 12. The format of the podcast has been every time I have one of my friends come on here. I have a lot of interesting friends and leaders and people that I meet that are church planners, that are incredible artists, that are creative entrepreneurs, that are people creating movements. And that's the main format that we've been doing, that we're going to do going forward. But every once in a while, we're going to just shake it up a little bit and mix it up. And I'm going to just share. So today I'm going to share because several people have asked. And I want to share for a couple of minutes on what churches are learning as they reopen. So Crossover Church, we just reopened this past Sunday, first Sunday of October, whenever you're listening to this. So Sunday, October 4th was our first Sunday in person in nearly 7 months. So today on this podcast, I want to share what we're learning, what we've learned, what we did, what worked, some best practices, because we've been talking to dozens and dozens of other churches and leaders and finding out, like, what are you guys doing? What are you learning? And so we've been asking that for months and months. So we definitely were really ready. But just to tell you, like, what happened this past Sunday, it actually was amazing. We had more than 50% of our pre-COVID attendance come back. So we were probably at close to about 60% of our attendance was back. And we actually had rain here in Florida. I mean, it was pouring on Sunday. So, you know, if it rains, that always holds people back. And so we had close to 60% come back, even with rain. We had over 1,000 more people online than we had the week before. What? How did that happen? Because normally if you would have hundreds of people come back to the building, you probably should have hundreds less online, right? No, we actually had more online even than before. It was crazy. We had several salvations. We had several people come for the very first time. I met a lot of new people that had started worshiping with us virtually during the pandemic and joined our church, and now they got to physically come to the building, so that was super cool. And here's another crazy thing. We have the largest offering in our church's history for the month of October. So, I mean, it was just such a win, such a great week. So how did we get there? I want to share some details on that over this next podcast. So, you know, if you know some pastors or some church planners or some church leaders or some associate pastors, whatever, you may want to like share this link, definitely, and what we're learning. So let me just set it off like this, though. So when COVID started, a lot of us kind of had this idea that it was going to be like a blizzard, right? It was going to be a snowstorm. You know, snowstorms, they last, you know, what, a couple of days. There might be an interruption in your schedule for like a week or two that it, you know, there's snow piles everywhere, stuff is shut down. But as the snow plows go out, as the sun starts shining again, things begin to open back up. When COVID first happened, most of us thought that this was just going to be like, it was just going to be like a blizzard, right? It wasn't going to be this, you know, thing that it's become, right? So we soon learned that it wasn't a blizzard. It was maybe more like a season. It was a winter, right? So you have a blizzard, you got a winter. Winter is a season. It lasts for months. So soon we realized that, churches are not going to reopen by Easter. This is going to be with us for a couple of months. But we'll probably open by summer. Yeah, we'll be back by then. It's going to get better. Many of us were optimistic, right? I was one of those people. I was like, come on, Lord, like, we're going to get through this. Maybe we won't have church for like 8 weeks or something, or, you know, we should be back pretty soon. And so we thought it was going to be like a winter. But now we've learned, here we are, we're in the fall when I'm recording this, the fall of 2020. We're learning this is longer than a season. It's a season, you know, might be like 3-4 months long. It's longer than that already. We're in like going into 7 months now plus. This is more like an ice age. And so in a blizzard, you're looking to quickly just, you know, okay, we're gonna get out of this real quick. We're gonna recover. We're gonna reopen. But in a blizzard, that's what you're looking at. In a winter, you're starting to think like more long term, right? This is gonna be a season. But when you're talking about an ice age, it's not a season. It's not months. It's not weeks. It's not days. It's years. So Now many of us have come to that sobering fact that this pandemic is going to have impacts that are going to last not for days, months, or weeks, but for years. There's going to be some impacts of this that are going to ripple out for many years, and the new normal is going to look different than it was before back in the beginning of March of 2020. So that's the reality that all of us have to wrestle with a little bit. And the ice age that we're going into right now, we have to have realistic expectations. We have to pray. We have to plan accordingly. We need wisdom from God for this next season, because none of us have lived through a time like this or led through a time like this. So we reopened, and what are some of the things that we learned? Let me rewind just a little bit back, and we really had like a false start. So here in Florida, and I know it's different everywhere, but we're in Tampa, Florida. We never got hit that bad in the early part of the pandemic. Like the Northeast got hit with a lot of COVID numbers, a lot of deaths, especially, you know, New York City was the early on epicenter. Florida, we didn't have it too bad. You might have heard a little bit about Miami. That was like the hot spot of Florida. But here in Tampa, it literally took us about 2 months to get even to 1,000 cases in Hillsborough County, the county that Tampa's in. There's about 1.4 million people that live here. So it was relatively like people were like, I don't know nobody that's sick. Like, yeah, this is like whatever. Nobody was really wearing masks that much. It wasn't mandated here. It didn't feel really that unsafe. We knew other parts of the country were getting rocked, but, you know, we're in Florida. We're coming into the summer. It's hot. The virus don't like heat. That's what we thought. That's what many people said. They weren't sure, but some scientists said that. So we were feeling like, yeah, we're coming out of this. It's going to be good. So I remember I was on a call with some other pastors, the biggest pastors, the biggest churches of Tampa. There's about a dozen of us that were on the call. And they were all like, predominantly, most of them were white churches. And they were all like, yeah, we're thinking about going back like the very beginning of June. This was in May. We're having this Zoom call together. And I was like, oh, we weren't thinking that early. They were like ready to go. And so it's interesting to see how this, you know, people have different mindsets on everything. So we were thinking like possibly like the beginning of July, but they were like the first Sunday in June, let's go. You know, they had the sheriff on there of Hillsborough County who had, you might've heard, it made national news. He arrested a pastor in Tampa back, I think it was the end of March, because he was still having church when everything was like shut down. But he was on the call and he's like, yep, you guys can go back to first Sunday of June. It's safe now. It's good. You can have kids ministry. You can have the whole deal. We were like, what? Wow. I was kind of shocked, right? So, but our team took a more cautious, you know, approach. And we were like, we're going to let y'all go first. And we're just going to sit back here and we're going to watch and see how it goes for you. And we're just going to, you know, and we just had this mindset as well of, let's let some of the other larger churches go first and smaller and whatnot. Because, you know, there's some really small churches that they never stopped meeting, but that's another story. So let them go first. We'll learn from them and people will get more and more comfortable. And then we'll go back later in July. We decided to actually put our date as July 19th. But as June went on, suddenly Florida and a lot of other states that previously hadn't had many COVID cases, like Texas and Arizona and a lot of the South, and then even California, have this big surge. And so we have this spike of cases as June went on. And by the end of June, remember I said it took us 2 months to get to 1,000 cases in our county of 1.4 million people. We were seeing on a couple of days over 1,000 cases in one day. So it was like, oh man, right? And then we started to actually know people. At first I was like, I still don't know anybody that's sick. Then we started to know some people that were sick and that were getting, or at least getting tested positive. Many people were asymptomatic as well, but soon it became a very real thing here. And so in the middle of all that, we were like, man, it's not gonna be good for us to try to come back right now in the middle of a spike. People are, first of all, not gonna be comfortable. Second of all, we can't guarantee if people are going to get sick or not, if there's a lot of people that are sick. And, you know, we had a worship recording practice and there was someone in our media team that had gotten COVID like 5 days later. And so we had to go back and tell everybody else that was at this practice. It was only a couple people that were in the media booth near him. And we had to call them and have this awkward conversation. We're like, look, you might want to get tested because so-and-so, you know, got sick and, you know, they're okay, but they had a fever for a few days and, you know, we just want to let you know. Right? So we had to go through all that, that contact tracing stuff. And thank God nobody else got sick. And the guy who was sick from the media team, he got better in just a few days. Him and his wife went through it for a few days and then they were good. But still, we were just like, we just can't open up right now. We just need to let this pass. We need to figure this out. So we kind of had this false start that we were all excited of like, yeah, we're coming back. No, we're not coming back. And really, as a leader, for a minute there at the beginning of July when we made that decision, man, I felt like I hit a brick wall. Any of y'all felt like you hit a brick wall during this pandemic? Like you had a plan, and then this brick wall just showed up and your plan just slapped up against it. It was like, nope, that ain't happening. And then it was like, okay, people are like, so when are we going to reopen then? It was like, we don't know. There's a brick wall right here. It's called a spike of cases. And we don't know when it's going to go down. We don't know when it's going to be, you know, safe. We don't know when we're allowed, you know, all those things. We were allowed to open up, but we just felt like it wasn't good. There's a few other churches that tried to open during that time and it wasn't a good look for them. It didn't look responsible. And so, you know, we want to shepherd our people and keep people safe and protect them. And so anyways, it was just discouraging, quite honestly, as a leader to say, man, what's next? Like, what do we do now? We felt like we were out of ideas, right? We had did everything we could online to keep it engaging. And, oh, we're finally going to come back to the building. We're still going to stream, but we'll be back in the building. And, you know, we'll be able to get back into a little bit of somewhat of a regular rhythm, right? And then we hit that brick wall of like, no, we're not coming back, and we're not going to be coming back for a minute. We don't know when we're coming back, but it's going to be months. It's going to be months. And it was just like, it was tough, man. I'm a very optimistic guy. I've never really struggled with depression before, but I think I got depressed a little bit that week, and I just didn't feel myself, and I was just feeling these emotions. I was feeling weird, like stuff I've never felt before. So that was challenging, but that was a false start for us. And so that helped us to plan and look at even more churches of how they're doing it. And it gave us more time to get ready for where we're at today. And so listen, every city, every state, every church culture is different in this. So as you're watching this, whenever you're watching this, whether you're watching this when it's recorded in October or you're watching this in months from now, realize that every city, every state, every church culture is different. So even right now, as I'm recording this, there's some churches that have been open for months and months and months, and nobody wears masks, and they're just doing whatever they want to do. And then on the other extreme, you have churches that have not opened yet, and some of those churches don't even have a date. They're not even planning on reopening this year, sometime next year. They just, you know, so it's all over the map, and it's everything in between, right? So for us, here's some of the things that we learned to reopen and how it went so well so far. And we're still learning, and I'm sure we're going to learn a whole bunch more in the weeks to come. But one of the things that we really learned to do well that I think we did good with was communicating what it was going to look like. Because a lot of people were scared and had questions and were wondering, because the bottom line is you got three kinds of people in this. And a friend of mine, Pastor David Sean from Saddleback Church, shared this with me and some other leaders the other night on I started a thing called the Innovative Pastors Network. And so if you're interested in that, you can go over to translationleadership.com. It's a monthly live webinar that I do with pastors. And we talk about innovative ideas that our church is doing that's working, break it down for you. Then I have a guest on and they share like some innovative things, and there's time for Q&A, and it's very personal. There's some prayer and stuff like that. There's a bunch of resources that you get as well. But anyway, so on the call the other night on the live webinar, you know, David shared, there's three kinds of people, three categories. You got red light people. Those are the people that they ain't really leaving the house right now. They ain't coming back to church right now. Even if you're open, they ain't coming back. They're not really going anywhere right now. Then you have yellow light people that they're going out, they're beginning to do things, but they're taking all the precautions. They're very cautious. They're somewhat nervous about some things. There's a little bit of fear there, maybe. And then you've got green light people that are just they're out. They're doing whatever they want. They're not wearing a mask. Some of them on the extreme end might even think like, this ain't really even real, you know. So you've got such a division between the red light, the yellow light, and the green light people, right? And really, like, a lot of the green light people, they offend the red light people, and vice versa. The green light people, I mean, they're offended sometimes by the red light people. Like, what's wrong with you? What are you scared about? You know, and it's just, oh, man, the COVID has brought so much division. And so most churches are going to have people that are in all three of those categories. My church has all three of those categories. Now, I would say from my particular church, I would say most people are probably in the yellow, actually. That's what we've seen. A lot of people that have come back, they're back, but they're taking the precautions. We don't have a whole lot of people that would be those, you know, green light people that are just like, why do I got to wear a mask? You know, we don't have a whole lot of those people. We do have some red light people, obviously, because not everybody came back yet. Some of them are saying they're going to come back in the next couple of weeks and whatnot. But some of them, you know, they're red light because they're in an at-risk category. They're older. Some of them, they have autoimmune, you know, issues with their health, or they've got pre-existing health conditions. So they might be younger, but they got a bunch of health conditions, and so they're red light. Some of them, their doctors have even told them, like, listen, your immune system is weak. You need to stay in mostly and be careful and all those things. So I'm not saying like any of the colors is right necessarily. I'm just kind of sharing where people are at. People are like that in your church, in your community. And so you have to be aware of that. So we've realized at our church, like, we wanted to take all the precautions we needed. We wanted to go above and beyond to make people feel comfortable to be able to come back. And so we knew for our crowd, there wasn't a ton of the green light people. But even for those that might be green light, or even some of the, you know, yellow light that might have thought we were a little bit too cautious, we would just, you know, multiple times say, hey, we care about everyone and we want to protect our MVPs. MVPs are most vulnerable people. So because there's some people that are coming back to service, they're just so desperate for in-person community and worship and to be around people because they've been isolated, but they've got health issues. And they're at risk. There's one lady in particular I could think of from our church, and she's about to get a kidney transplant in the next couple of months. And she's in her 50s, and she's had a lot of health problems, but she just could not stay away. She's like, I got to come back to church. And so, you know what? Like, we want her to be able to come back, but we want her to be safe. We want her to be protected. So what we did is we went above and beyond. We social distanced all the chairs, like, truly. So we literally took out 2/3 of the seating. For now, it's not always going to be like that. We're going to kind of gauge it as things go. But for right now, we did that. So we only have about 30% of our seating capacity in our auditorium right now, which is going to be a challenge in the weeks to come as more and more people come back. Week one, we had rain and we added an additional service time to spread people out. And we called people and told them, like, hey, y'all need to go to these other services because the middle service, the 10 a.m. service is the one we added. It was already RSVP'd over the limit, but not all the RSVPs showed up because the Lord sent rain. So, but probably this week, it's going to be a lot more people. We're going to have to, you know, begin to figure that out. We have overflow seating, but I was sharing with my engineer a little bit before this, like, if you've been watching on a screen for 7 months, you don't want to show up at church all excited to be in the room to find you got to be in some other room and watch it on a screen, right? So we want to try to put as many people in the room safely as we can. But for us at this point, we made the decision that we wanted to really, you know, all the sections of seats are truly social distance. So we added that 8:30 a.m. service, and we have an 11:45 service. We have a cleaning team, and in between services, they're spraying down seats. They're sanitizing the bathrooms. They're doing all those things above and beyond. Our kids ministry, we're doing a bunch of things in the kids ministry as well to make kids safer. And we're requiring masks right now. We honestly don't have to, although in our city and our county, there is a mask requirement right now. It's a little bit confusing right now because recently the governor of the state said we're in phase 3, which there can be mask mandates locally, but they're not allowed to legally enforce them anymore. So there's no teeth to it. So no one, you can't really get in trouble for it. I mean, a business could ask you to leave, but they can't call the police or anything. Like, you're not doing anything illegal. At the same time, now that we're in phase three, restaurants and venues can actually be at 100% seating capacity. So we could be at 100% seating capacity, but we choose to only be at 30% for right now. Because, again, we want to make people feel comfortable to come back. We're getting in the groove. We're tweaking things. We're figuring things out. And so I'd encourage you to play it safe. Go above and beyond, and that's going to make people feel more comfortable. And communicate. Communicate, communicate, communicate. And so I'm going to show you a video right now of how we communicated, what it was going to be like. People are visual, right? So they need visuals of what it's actually going to look like. And so if you're listening to this on the podcast, like just audio, you'll be able to hear some words on here, but you won't be able to see all the video. If you want to go over to YouTube, go to my YouTube channel, UrbanD813, and you can actually, like, if you didn't know, this is actually available on YouTube, and you can see the video version of it as well. So you'll be able to kind of see the visuals behind it as you hear some of the audio. So check this out. This is one of the promo videos that we did showing what our COVID procedures were look like to keep people safe.
We are so excited to reopen our doors. We can't wait to see our family and worship with you together again. Sunday, October 4th, we will not only reopen the building, but we're introducing 3 service times. Because your health is important to us, our pastors and staff have worked hard to come up with a detailed plan. We want to make sure that our members who have health concerns can come back with the freedom to worship, but at the same time, maintain that crossover home feeling. Our goal is to make this comeback safe, spaced, sanitized, and super dope. The crossover experience will still exist, but with some slight differences during this pandemic. Our safe methods include requiring a mask. When you come in, you will be asked to put on a mask. If you don't have one, we'll give one to you. And there will be some hand sanitizer available right there at the front door. All the doors will be propped open to minimize touching. Of course, we'll have our greatest activator, First Impressions team, there to greet you. Everything is going to be contactless. Check out our updated app. On there, you'll be able to access the bulletin, giving, as well as your sermon notes. We want you to feel safe in our space. Don't be alarmed when you step in the auditorium. When you walk in, you will see that the chairs are spaced out so that there's plenty of room for everyone. We've also added the 3 services, 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:45, to make sure that there's enough room for everyone. There will be physical distancing encouraged in the lobby, but don't worry, we've got designated areas for those that want to hang out and catch up with the fam. To maintain safe traffic flow, front doors will not open until 15 minutes prior to each service. We ask that you wait in your car until that time. At the end of service, you'll be dismissed 1 section at a time. We've got safe, we've got spaced, and we've got sanitized. Steps for safe sanitizing will take place in between each service. Our auditorium and chairs will be sanitized, as well as the kids' wing and bathrooms. We can't wait to come back Sunday, October 4th, 8:30, 10 a.m., or 11:45. It's gonna be, what do we say at Crossover? Super dope.
All right, so in addition to that, like, so that was one of the videos we showed with, like, hey, these are the protocols we're following. This is how we care about you. We care about the MVPs. Remember, the most vulnerable people. This is how we want to keep you safe and take care of your kids and all that stuff. But we also then wanted to do, like, a promo, like, of something that's going to be fun. Like what's it going to look like? Like, what's the exciting part of it, too? So we hit up our boy from Crossover Church, ATL, DJ Radical. And we're going to call our series, when we came back, we're going to call it Don't Call It a Comeback, right? So I said, Radical, DJ Radical, can you take the classic LL Cool J song, Mama Said Knock You Out, in that first line, Don't Call It a Comeback, can you take that and just cut it up? And then we were just going to show all these different scenes. I personally came up with, like, kind of the the lettering that was on the screen and whatnot. And so, again, if you're on the audio version, you're going to hear a dope scratching session right now. But if you're watching this on YouTube or you want to go over to Urban D813, watch the video version, you'll be able to see all the scenes of how we piece this promo together to really get people excited about coming back to church for the first reopening, grand reopening Sunday. So check out this promo. Don't call it a comeback. Yeah. So church was amazing. It was fun. It was exciting. The first week we came back, and as you're leading up to your regathering Sunday, you want to promote it. Of course, you want to email everybody, call them, send out text messages, social media. We did a little bit of social media ads with that exact video that you just saw. And I think we spent a few $100 on it. It got over 20,000 views. And there was actually 663 clicks where people then went to a landing page. And on the landing page, we had that first video that I showed you a few moments ago that showed like what the protocols, how we were welcoming people back to church, the safety things we were doing, had some bullet points. And then it had a little button for people to RSVP their seats. And there's this free app that you could get for churches. It's, I think it's called reopenchurch.com. You could go there. And they have an RSVP thing, and it's really cool. You get people's email, their information, and I think their phone number, and they get an email and a text reminding them about church. And that's all automated, and it's free. So we use that tool for our first Sunday going back. Now, again, everybody that RSVPs, they don't always show up, but at least it helps you gauge some, and you get some information from some people. So when you come back, here's a couple other important things to learn, y'all. Language is super important. Super important. And so, listen, not everybody's coming back. You've got some red light people. I've got some red light people. We got some red light people. And that's totally okay, right? So, but here's the thing. You want to make sure you include them so you don't lose them. Let me say that again, y'all. You want to make sure you include them so you don't lose them. Because most churches that are coming back, I mean, we came back first Sunday with close to 60%. That's amazing. Most churches are coming back with half of that, like 30%, 20%. I talked to a pastor this past week. I mean, he said they're at about 15% of their attendance is coming back. So that means that for most churches that have come back, the majority of people are still watching online. And so you still want to keep streaming online and you still want to keep communicating to them and talking to them. So again, include them or you're going to lose them. So keep talking to them. This past Sunday, during all three services, I preached live from the stage with people in the crowd, but I was regularly talking to the online crowd just like I was the past 7 months. Now, I was doing that a little bit before this anyways, but I wasn't doing it like I was the last 7 months because I knew that was the only crowd we had was online. So now, even if you have people back in the building, don't forget about your online crowd. So you might say, well, Pastor Tommy, how do I continue to talk to the online crowd? What do I just... little subtle things throughout the message and say, hey, if you're watching online, type this in the chat. Put the emoji up. If you're, continue to talk to that online crowd. If you're here or if you're at home, we love you just as much. We could do this together. It's all those little things. I mean, I must have probably had 10 to 12 different times during the sermon, during the message where I talked to that online crowd. I can continue to engage them and talk to them and include them. You're still part of it. We love you. It's okay if you're coming back right now. On the other hand, you probably have people that are watching your church like we have ours now that everyone's been online that aren't even from your city. They can't come back anyways because they live in some other city or some other state or maybe even some other country. We found that we now have like hundreds and hundreds of people that are from other cities that are watching. So even if the buildings reopen, like, great, but they're not going to be able to come back either. But they, but they still want to keep watching. So how do we continue to show them love and engage them and reach out to them? So you don't want to make those people that are watching online feel like second-class citizens. And sometimes pre-COVID, let's be honest, we could all do that sometimes. Maybe sometimes we would be like, oh man, there's nothing like being here. You know, like, I don't, y'all need to be at church next week, you know, or, you know, there'd be sometimes stuff we would do, you know, in the building in person, like, man, next week we having food and we can't stream that to you. And we'd almost like, you know, kind of rub it in their face a little bit to kind of get them to come, right? Don't do that right now. Don't do that. You don't need to make people feel bad because they're not able to come right now. Don't shame them. Don't make them feel like second class citizens. This is a talk I had with my team in staff meeting just on Tuesday. And I said, let's be very careful with the language whenever somebody's on the mic, not just with me with the sermon and the message, but during worship, announcements, offering prayer. Whenever someone's on that microphone, we want to also engage that online crowd, but we do not want to make those people feel like they're second-class citizens. We had someone this past Sunday. I would put her on blast. I could do that. She's my best friend. It was my wife. Me and my wife came out and greeted the service. And first service, she, you know, took the mic and I'm like, welcome, guys. And she's like, yeah, isn't this so much better to be in the room? And I was like, oh, no, man, don't say that. You're making all the people at home feel bad. Like, you know, like, so, you know, we got to be very, very careful with that and make sure we're making everybody feel included. Because here's the reality. If you've reopened now or you're planning on reopening soon, the reality is you got two churches now. You got an online church, and which is a virtual church, and you got this in-person church. And that's exciting. You have two churches now. You have two campuses. And you should have looked at it like that before COVID anyways. We did, but not as seriously as we do now, because all of us for a while, we had virtual churches. And you know now like we're relaunching a physical location. And so don't forget about the digital, even though the physical is relaunching. And so here's the last thing I'll say for today is preach and encourage unity. We know, listen, when I'm recording this right now, the election is just around the corner and there is so much division in our country right now. I mean, there's division over politics, over policy, over stimulus packages. That's one that came up this week over did the president really have COVID or not, or I don't like the way he handled it or what he said on Twitter, or, you know, there's just so much divisive stuff right now. Then on top of all the racial issues that are happening, and I believe that even before the election, there's going to be a number of more things that's probably going to be front and center on the headlines. You know, stuff about COVID, about race issues, about politics. There's so much stuff that is polarizing everybody and it's dividing everyone. And so as the church, as leaders of the church, we got to call the church to unity. We got to celebrate unity. We got to preach on unity. We got to discuss it. We got to hit it head on, not get political, but we got to be unifiers. So the Sunday before the election, well, two Sundays before the election, I'm going to do a message called The Third Option. And some of it's going to be based on a book by Miles McPherson that he came out with that book recently. Great book. But really just how culture has kind of divided everybody into two categories of us versus them, right? It's either protester versus police, or it's mask versus no mask, or it's right versus the left, or it's, you know, it's one versus the other. And, you know, and so, man, the church many times has kind of fallen right into that, and we're right in the middle of that division. And the enemy has brought a lot of division to a lot of churches. So it's so important that we got to preach unity. We got to be reconcilers. That's one of our main things, right? As believers, we're called to be agents of reconciliation. And so, hey, that's just some stuff that we're learning. Wanted to share that a little bit. And if you're interested in more what Crossover Church is doing and some of the stuff we've been doing, how we're winning, like how did we have a record offering, you know, 7 months into the pandemic, right? And that's not the only time. In October, we had a record offering. In September, we had a record offering in August. I mean, we've just been blown away by the generosity of our people. But that didn't just happen. There's been a lot of intentionality with that. There's been things that we've done to engage people, to keep them plugged in. There's been ways that we've been serving our community. We've been showing people what their giving is going towards. There's been a lot to that. There's been great partnerships that we've had, credible opportunities that have happened. I created a course called How Your Church Can Thrive in the Pandemic. And I kind of line out all those things that we've done. I also talked about, especially a big thing I talked about, is how we've had engaging online services and how we've had thousands and thousands of people watching, and we weren't even paying any money to promote that. Like some churches may do all the Facebook boost on all that. We were just had organic engagement because we were creating great creative content. And so what did we do? So the course has 10 powerful proven things that we did that can give you guys some ideas for your online services, or even if you're back in person, how to engage your online people more. So if you're interested in checking out the course, go over to translationleadership.com and you can get the details on that. It's translationleadership.com. The course is called How Your Church Can Thrive in the Pandemic. There's some really cool bonuses with it as well. We had 4 different message series that I preached during the pandemic, and we give you guys the transcripts for that, so that can give you a bunch of fresh ideas as well. If you're like out of ideas right now, like what do we do, right? So hopefully there'll be some great inspiration through that. And again, if you want to learn more about the Innovative Pastors Network, the monthly coaching thing that I'm doing along with some of my close friends, is some great stuff that we're pouring into leaders. That's also on the translationleadership.com website. Well, hey guys, thank you for checking out a different kind of episode of the Flavor Fest Leadership Podcast today. And again, Flavor Fest is still on virtually. Go over to flavorfest.org and get your team registered for Saturday, October 24th from 10 to 1. It's only 3 hours and it's going to be engaging. It's going to be value packed and it's free. So, hey, we love you guys. We'll see you on the next podcast. Yo, I'm out.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.